for season 2 episode 40. I'm Audrey.
I'm Carla.
We're here today on the first day of the Digimon World Tour.
Shit's so wild in this. Also, before we get too far away from the opening song, I want to point out that it's got a little bit different context for you now. Audrey is now like seen where that song comes from.
Yes. Well, the first time we played Undertale, or rather the first time I played Undertale and you guided me through it, we did get to the dating start.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I did know that it's when Papyrus is being hella cute.
Papyrus doesn't know how to tell you no.
I love that he's like, "You want to date me? Let's go on a date then." And then he's like,
he has no idea what that means.
I fucking don't actually like you that way, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Tell me that's not fucking relatable of like,
oh yeah,
I don't have feelings, but maybe they'll happen.
Yeah, I've been on plenty of dates with people where I was like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
And they're like, oh, but I'm so here for this.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Went on a date with a recently cracked egg. And she was sweet enough, and we had good conversation and stuff. And when she dropped me off, I gave her a little peck.
No.
Like a polite little, mwah, good to see you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she spent the following 2 weeks bubbling and boiling with passionate joy. And she was like, oh, my God, she likes me. And then the next time we hung out, she was like, listen, I, like, really, really like you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, you're nice. Like, I like spending time with you. And she was like, you mean like it? Had to go cry in the bathroom. It was so sad.
Oh, darling. Yeah, no, I haven't had that specifically before, mostly because a huge chunk of my dating life has been online for the most part. Sure. But like, I've had that digitally.
Yeah, where somebody's like, oh my God, you're my whole shit. And you're like, wasn't trying to be your whole shit right away.
No, like, oh, you ERP'd so good that I love you now. And it's like, that's unfortunate because you ERP very badly, actually. And I'm pretty lukewarm on you. Listen, I appreciate it. I understand people are at different levels of enthusiasm for writing, different levels of literacy, you know, just have different vocabularies they work with. And that's value neutral, you know? It's not... Audrey has typed fucks you in the chat. And that's a really, really good example of the kind of thing I mean. When you're in the ERP shit, at least my experience was that it's polite to offer like enough description to give the other person something to go off for their response. some details, some, you know, some leading elements, something, right?
Yes.
Because it's you're like DMing for each other with one hand.
Right.
Yeah, it's a leapfrog of world building, but the world is your asshole and the building is lube.
A couple times ERP'd with girls from my high school.
When yeah. I was in high school.
And years after the fact, it occurred to me they were probably hanging out with their friends and they were all laughing at what I was typing. It's what I was thinking. That's actually what happened.
That's possible, but like, you don't need to assume the worst.
Oh, I'm going to assume the worst. These girls are way out of my fucking league.
Again, leagues are a dumb concept.
Sure.
I get it. Like, it's better to think of those things in terms of, like, the material differences separating yes. you with someone.
Yes.
The sort of the networking and socioeconomic factors that may put some distance between you and someone. But, like, mm-hmm. putting a hierarchy on that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Fair enough. That's good.
Abigail Thorne isn't, like, inherently, like, too good to date either of us. She just is in a different sphere. You know
yeah,
what I
she's
mean?
She's just doing different shit. Yeah.
She's doing different shit on different scales. It's, you know, unlikely to happen, but not impossible. Love finds you wherever you are.
That's right. Abigail Thorne, if you're listening, Either one
if you're
of
listening,
us.
Come on the show. I'm not either offering anything beyond that because professional shit matters, but
that's funny. How you been though? What's going on? You got anything new going on?
Deltarune chapter 5.
Deltarune, as I keep calling it.
Deltarune. It's fucking okay. It's such a delight. Okay. Skip to 9 minutes 50 seconds to avoid spoilers. I need to talk about this. So if you didn't skip at that timestamp, that's on you, buddy. I am
We're
obsessed
beyond the spoiler wall for Deltarune chapter 5.
Yeah, and I'm spoiling you too, Audrey, and I'm sorry, because I do That's wish fine. you could learn this shit naturally, but Ralse is trans. Ralse is trans femme, and that is my favorite thing. And she's learning to be mean. She's actually learning to fucking let her frustrations out when she's feeling annoyed with someone. She's willing to fucking fight back a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, she literally, I'm going to be using she here because it's pretty fucking clear about this shit. It's not literally isn't she lovely.
Sure.
But it's so explicit that like the people who are arguing against it are either have some like further gender shit that they're trying to say. Like it could in the same way of like when someone says they're into women, that doesn't mean they're a lesbian. Means they're into women. They could be bi. Yeah, yeah. They could be women like or focused but pan. They could be any variety of shit that includes wanting to kiss a woman.
Yes.
If Rossay could be anything that includes breaking out into a feminine presentation.
Yeah, gender nonconforming cis and non-binary any number.
However, the character whose literal thing this whole time, this whole chapter has been he knows shit he shouldn't know yet. Calls Ralse princess and uses she, her pronouns when they finally get to talk to her one-on-one. So I'm going to go ahead with that. Anyway, she spends the first chapter, if you're like really fucking mean, she spends the first chapter just acquiescing to that. Just being like, hey, if you want to hit the dummy so bad, I mean, you can hit me sometimes if you need to.
Man.
Yeah, it's rough. it only gets more rough in hindsight when you're like, oh, that is some deep repression right off the bat. Oh man.
Man.
But no, chapter 5 is full of joy and intentionally chock full of nostalgia for Undertale and Deltarune chapter 1 because it's based around someone just never moving on. Like the dark world here is literally your dad's inability to move on past his college years or even a specific traumatic event that lost him his job, got him divorced. Like he has spiraled because of one thing he can't fucking let go. And so the entire dark world built around him is full of shit from chapter 1 in Deltarune. That's just meant to make you go, oh, it's the thing again, a thing I remember. We're doing Fields of Hopes and Dreams again, but this time it's anime. We're doing, oh, flowery, wow. The seven souls, now it's the seven flowers, wow. obviously, the parallelism is important beyond just representing nostalgia, but it is very, like, it is hitting you over the head. This man can't move on.
Yeah.
This is a world composed entirely of shit you've seen already, and that's on purpose. That's not laziness.
Yeah. In a way that I think is maybe critiquing the way that we are sort of nostalgia locked currently.
Yes.
Though I think there is some indications that we are trying to fucking not do that quite so much anymore.
Well, the rise of particularly aggressively novel and original forms of art, particularly in trans and trans femme spaces, is like a really nice sign to me that I'm hearing from people who don't touch any kind of like non-mainstream music of like, oh yeah, I've heard the name Camellia.
Yeah,
I've seen some trans artists show up in my stuff and. It's a good sign. It's a hopeful sign.
That. I'm thinking specifically of the way that the back rooms of first film based on a Reddit concept from this creator beat a Star Wars movie on opening weekend. Mandalorian and Grogu opened the same weekend as Backrooms, and Backrooms like blew it out of the fucking water.
Backrooms blew out Grogu's back.
That's right.
Grogu's are all child. Adults, right?
Well, Grogu's a child.
Oh shit. Okay. Who's the Mandalorian in this? Is that
Pedro Pascal?
Okay, yeah. Blew out Pedro Pascal's back. Congratulations.
Nice. Good.
You got fucked by Justin Bieber and Ludacris? Yeah, that's the ones who did the theme song for Backrooms.
Did they really?
Yeah. Yeah, this Bieber? It's been like a fucking remix thing. The Backrooms penis.
I gotta see this.
Okay, alright.
See, that's what I was wondering, because I knew that there was a Justin Bieber Ludacris track. They did. What do you mean this is the main theme for the Backrooms movie?
Right?
What? It's called
Looping the Rooms, I think is the name.
Why is this? Yeah, is this really the Backrooms movie?
Why is it like a Pokemon 2000s pop track? Pokemon the movie 2000.
Themes of existential breath. Well, the bb.
Well, but
every song in the Backrooms movie, Backrooms music OST. You're fucking with me, right?
I know as much as you do here. I'm basing my statements off of context. I'm not going to see the fucking Backrooms movie to find out.
I want to see the Backrooms.
Okay, well, I'm not over there, so you can't bring me with you.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to see it in theater. I don't see movies in theater, typically.
You don't watch things in theater?
Not usually.
How else do you stick your dick in your own popcorn bucket?
And just jerk off through the popcorn?
No, just have fucking salty, buttery cock that you stick back in your skirt, then you gotta clean your skirt.
Implying that my cock is not already salty and buttery.
You're right. No, you should really salt and butter your cock before you go to the movies.
That's so uncomfortable.
That's common courtesy.
That's so uncomfortable.
But then birds can attack you.
Birds attacking your penis specifically.
God your damn dick it. Getting the birds.
I referenced that. I mean, you don't know Simpsons as well as I do, but there's a moment where Hans Molman, like, they're doing the birds thing in a Treehouse of Horror episode, and Hans Molman is in a phone booth, and he goes, "I need the biggest seed bell you have." No, that's too big.
Cool.
Good. Good comedy.
I love that. Hey, I was talking about a game. And I also mentioned that we were going through Undertale together. You want to share some of your thoughts on Undertale so far?
Undertale's so cool, and like the thing that really struck me going through this time, because I had seen the first part with Sans, I had seen the stuff with Papyrus, and I had seen Undine be menacing in the armor.
Mm-hmm.
I had never like seen her face. I had never seen the fights with her.
Yeah, specifically we're just reaching Hotland.
Yeah. So sick. Undine is the coolest fucking character.
I love her to death.
I love the way that she's like, I'm gonna like, I need your soul to fucking strike back against the humans and get us out of here. Like, I need this. I am a hero of my people and I will take your soul.
Yeah. Well, a champion of the hero of the people. She's like, Asgore's gonna fucking go up there,
yeah, yeah,
and fuck them all up and let us all out.
She's it'll like, be but great. I'm gonna get you. And there's like themes of, because you're just a kid who fell down a fucking hole. Like, you don't deserve this.
No,
but there's
themes, and neither did any of the previous kids that came right. by. She but mentions you're the but seventh.
There's themes of the oppressed have the right to do whatever is necessary to defeat their oppressors.
Yes. And more like, specifically, it's not okay for you to kill them for fighting for their freedom.
Yeah.
one of the ultimate themes of Undertale is understanding who truly has the power in a situation.
Yes.
Is more complex than just who is more physically powerful between two people, right?
Yeah.
Because the retribution that you as an immortal saving and reloading player can inflict on someone is inevitable in a sense, right?
Mm,
if she kills you, doesn't stick. Not really, Dark Souls right. style.
Yeah.
You can just try again until you fucking get her. So
there's that idea that the player character is the scariest thing in the Dark Souls universe.
Yeah, in a sense, it's analogous to having like an imperial power behind you, even if you yourself are a wimpy little ambassador or whatever the fuck. Like,
sure,
it doesn't matter if killing you is easy or fuck, how do I put it? You have a power behind you, a form of retribution behind you that they simply have no fucking answer to. There is no way for them in their society and culture to push back against, in this case, the ability to just try again as a player.
Sure.
Or in the case of like people facing economic sanctions, actually pushing back against the U.S., when like every other country in the world is trading on a system based around the US dollar.
Right. Yeah.
It's more complicated than it looks on the front. And that's part of the important thing of Undertale is understanding when you have power behind you that you don't even realize that you have, and showing mercy to people, even when they are actively fucking coming for you, so long as you aren't the actual vulnerable person in the situation, right?
Right.
A lot of people will, and I, you know, I include myself in some of my worst moments. A lot of people will take their aggrievement to mean that they're morally in the right, and refuse to see the humanity in someone that they are beefing with, or in conflict with.
Yeah. May I introduce you to the entire Republican Party?
Yeah, there you go. I trust me, the fucking plenty of leftists and Democrats are open to the same shit. It's a very American way of thinking.
Yeah. It's actually a thought distortion under cognitive behavioral therapy called emotional reasoning.
Yeah. Shouldn't I shove back shit?
Well, yeah.
Like, you've been shoved, what do you do?
Well, that's an even crazier form of bullshit known as Zionism.
Well, yes, because that's the shove was fabricated in the first fucking place.
Right. Oh, that fucking grosses me out, that interview. Yeah,
disgusting.
So angry.
So yeah, your thoughts on Undertale are that Israel is not a valid state and exactly. should be dismantled.
Precisely. Well, specifically that the individuals and systems of power do not get to determine the terms of the resistance they meet.
Thank you. Yes, that is a much more cogent way of putting what I was trying to say.
Yeah. If you have the power in a situation and if you want to take shit from somebody and they want to keep their shit, you don't get to be like, oh, you fucking bombed me. Yeah, dude, you kept me in an open air prison camp for 60 fucking years. What do you want?
You overthrew me. Yeah, you kept me in political prison for a while, dog. Castro's going to take over for a little while and it's going to be better now. Fuck yourself.
Can I share, It's a somewhat apocryphal little thing from when Castro's folks came over from Mexico. So they arrived on the beach. Their boat was late. Like, they were late getting there. And he had, I want to say it was like 60 guys on a little like pleasure yacht, and like nothing. They had like nothing. They had like no food, no water. you know, very few weapons, and their boat showed up late. And the plan was they had all these uprisings planned in the cities like Havana and like all the different cities in Cuba. It's basically, okay, on the date of this morning, go out and demonstrate harder than you've ever demonstrated in your lives. Be like, fuck the Batista government. This is bullshit. Everything sucks. And then we're going to show up and coup the bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan. They went out and demonstrated. Boat was late. And so they wash up fucking starving and, you know, dying of thirst like 3 days later. And as they're pulling up in the boat, they hear like air cover coming for them. And they're like, that's bad.
Yeah.
And so they scatter. And Shay gets, I want to say Shay got hit at some point, like he's shot.
Fuck.
And like they're all scattered out in the fucking woods or whatever. And they finally get it back together. I want to say, I think it was like 12 guys and 3 rifles between them. And Castro's standing there with them, and they're like counting the ammo they have and like figuring out what their position is.
Mm-hmm.
And Castro says, we have already begun to won, or we have already begun to win.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like, damn, dude. Shit makes me
cry.
Fuck
yeah. God damn.
That's real hero shit.
That's real hero shit.
Fuck fascism forever.
Forever. With guns.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about Digimon? Yeah.
Boy, we got a lot out of Deltarune and Undertale talk.
Yeah, we got some places. Castro is Sans. Okay.
Okay.
The episode that we watched is episode 40 of season 2. For some reason, I'm on the character Phil, who is in Digimon World Tour Part 2, which is the English title of the episode we watched. But of course, the Japanese title is New York and Hong Kong, The Battle Royale. The Battle Royal.
That's, what was it, in the Great Melee in New York and Hong Kong.
Yeah, that was
the translated title we saw.
Because I think we have a fan dub, I think.
That would make sense.
So we get a fun little catch up where they're showing like the last time on, it's like Imperial Dramon getting digivolved up and then zooming off into the fucking distance, just whooshing away. And then the synopsis begins like this. Imperial Dramon Dragon Mode drops off the Digidestin in various places around the world to reinforce the international, I'm going to say international, Digidestin, with sending the Digimon released on Earth back to the digital world and destroy the control spires in those areas as well.
Yeah, so they like drop people off with the intention of having like the two major continents they're working on kind of all push to one major city.
Yeah.
In order to just suck all the Digimon back into the world, into the digital world in one go, or I guess two goes. Presumably Africa's covered. They've got enough Digidestins.
Yeah.
All on their own. I don't know what's happening in Australia though. They're fucked.
Well, we do get to see who gets dropped off there.
Can you imagine? There's probably like shit venomous and terrifying enough in Australia to kill a Digimon.
Just fighting off Digimon.
Yeah, just a kangaroo kick him in the goddamn gut.
Yeah, a Gessomon is swimming around in Sydney Bay and gets killed by a box jelly.
I mean, fuck, it's scary enough over there. Goddamn. Yeah.
I also remember learning about the box jellyfish and being like, that is the scariest fucking animal on the planet. That
yeah,
sucks.
No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with any of that.
I don't
forever.
Want a semi unsentient, like it doesn't really think about you. It's a jellyfish. It doesn't, it's an alien intelligence if it
right.
has an intelligence at all. And it just kind of bloops around. And if you touch it, you die.
Painfully. Slowly.
Yeah.
Crazy. The description does miss the fucking ISS at the beginning.
Yeah, so they're
Imperial Dramon is
keep
doing
calling
like
the ISS because that's the International Space Station. This is the space shuttle.
Oh shit.
It's just a shuttle, which the thing about the shuttle is it was for docking to the ISS is what they used it for.
So they like must have been en route for their docking maneuver or something.
I guess. It looked like they were just cruising around. Just tooling around in space in the shuttle.
In the shuttle. That's exactly. How that works. Joyride. Yeah. A little multi-million dollar joyride.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is meant to... You shoot that thing at stuff, and then you land on it when you're done shooting it at it. You know what I mean? It has boosters. It was designed to be able to withstand reentry and land and be reusable.
Yep.
But it wasn't for cruising around. It's but you can't. It like the fucking the control surfaces don't let you aim in space. Like you can't modify your trajectory. That's what the using this.
Yeah, that's what the SAS is for.
Yes.
For fine tuning your docking maneuver. Right. But the Imperial German is capable of like fucking post troposphere flight.
Yeah.
Just out there in space outside of the atmosphere.
Like how Superman does.
Yeah.
How they just have Superman flying around in space. Like, yeah.
He's got a little fucking biosphere on his back for the kids. They're fine.
Yeah. He's like, but, I got lungs to steal, bitch.
People in the ISS or the space shuttle are just like, what the fuck is that? And then they fire lasers from space at all of the dark towers on the planet. Beep, just beep, fucking beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. They're all gone. Don't worry about those.
Yeah, we took care of those actually.
Yeah, we can just do that from space, which cool as fuck. The child in me was just fucking squealing like, oh yeah, they fucking go up into space and they can see all of them, so you just pew, pew, precise beam them. Yeah,
so cool.
My next note is Michael.
Well, I'm good. I was gonna do that, Joe. No,
because the I'll cut me saying line. It. I'm sorry.
No. Ty and TK are dropped off in Paris. Joe and Cody in Sydney. Sora and Yole in Moscow. Or in Moscow, Russia. Well, because it has the country too, but I'm just saying the name of the city because you know where Moscow is. Kari in Hong Kong, and Imperial German stops, and it says in Miami Beach, which I guess it's a beach in Miami, but it's not a place called Miami Beach.
The Miami Beach, the one.
Right, the one beach in Miami.
Also, it's Miami.
It's spelled Miami.
Miami.
M-A-I-M-I-A.
M-A-I-A-M-I, yeah.
A-M-I, yeah. Spelled it so wrong. You did great. There, Daisuke, Ken, and Matt meet up with Michael.
Yeah, Michael's looking good. Ken is in the most fucking adorable sweater.
Yeah, he's got his like undershirt on. And he's got his little like Argyle sweater wrapped around his waist.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they started this in the middle of Christmas, so he didn't get a chance to change.
Yeah, probably a little warm in Miami.
Yeah, a little bit.
Michael takes them to an airport, where he tells Ken and Matt to take a helicopter to Mexico.
from Miami, Florida.
Yeah, just fly over take a helicopter over the Gulf. Let's see. Average helicopter.
The main thing that concerns me is that you have a fucking a civilian aircraft just kind of going over a border in the middle of like a emergency situation, like an international emergency of kaijus. And like I feel like perhaps the border security on either side would be pretty ready to shoot shit down right now.
Yeah, with all this fucking you're doing an international flight.
Yeah, this comes up later, people at the borders being ready to fucking fight.
Yeah. And I have just learned that a helicopter from Miami to Mexico is insane because the widest point of the Gulf is around 1,000 miles.
Uh-huh.
And you're kind of down. If you're down in the tip of Florida, if you're trying to get to Mexico, you got to go over the widest part of the fucking Gulf.
Again,
and that's about 1,100 miles. And an average helicopter ranges between 250 and 500 miles.
Yeah. So this will also come up later
into the middle of the Gulf.
That we're not sure that the writers were very interested in what borders look like.
Right. They didn't really give two shits about
that. Because we have like clearly Indian people on the border between China and India, I guess.
between China and India, I guess, but moments before we were in Hong Kong and we were on foot.
Yeah.
We would have had to go
so
through,
even if,
like, Laos.
Even if those two were actually bordering each other, like, it's still a really fucking that's so far away.
Yeah, unless there were, like, Indian code, because you'd have to go through most of mainline fucking China to get there, too.
Yeah, it's, what? you gotta cut through fucking Myanmar. It's a lot.
It's so much.
So they're playing fast and loose with the borders here, okay? Yeah, you can take a helicopter, it's no big deal, don't worry about it. Everywhere is as big as Japan.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's see. While he and Daisuke take a private jet to New York, so they send Matt and Ken helicopter to Mexico, Daisuke and Michael are going to New York. Michael's father, Michael J. Barton, happens to be the jet's pilot, and Daisuke recognizes him as a Hollywood movie star, and he's like,
yeah,
your dad
from such movies as Shoot the Darkness, Hell's Target.
Fucking awesome.
Sounds great. I'd see that movie.
I'd see the fuck out of that, especially with Michael J. Barton. Come on.
Yeah,
he has his own wiki page on
yeah, let's do this.
Yeah,
okay,
let's
do this.
Michael J. Barton, it's unfortunately, it's on a list of characters, so it's not his own page, but it says Michael J. Barton is Michael's father. He is a famous movie star. His name is a reference to Michael J. Fox.
I was going to say that.
What citation needed?
Citation needed.
In the Japanese, his name is Yoto Kazama. Or no, that's his Japanese voice actor. But they don't have an English voice actor listed for him. Did they just cut that part from the fucking dub, I guess?
They might have.
Let's see. What else? At Niagara Falls. You ever go to Niagara Falls? I guess it's on
no.
the other side of the whole shit.
No, I've never been.
I've driven near it.
I've been to Yellowstone.
We were like in Buffalo.
Been to the Grand Canyon. But I was
Grand
like
Canyon's very pretty.
Three.
I want to see them. At Niagara Falls, a Shogun Gekkoman is resting on the falls, which the fucking Niagara is depicted as some weak shit in this fucking show. Like, yeah, it's fucking Niagara Falls. It's like a little trickle of water falling down. I think the Gekkoman would get split in half by the fucking water coming. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fucking brained.
That's
by
so
a
much
ton
force.
Of water. Yeah. Crazy.
Oh, man.
With the United States Army on standby in case it attacks. So there's like a whole bunch of Army dudes standing around watching them, which is
yeah, they're just
Army
like
dudes tend to do.
Watch that frog.
I'm told. Yeah, no problem, boss. Hurry up and wait. Can you imagine? You get that detail and you're like scrambled to go out to Niagara Falls for this fucking monster. And you're like, oh, cool. We're going to fucking blow up a giant frog monster. And they're like, OK, now watch him. And you're like, hurry up and wait.
All right. You need to be on standby.
Yeah. An airdramon arrives and catches the attention of the U.S. Army. The commanding officer observes the airdramon with binoculars and is surprised to see a child riding the Digimon.
He's like, "What the fuck?" It's an Iron Giant situation. There's a kid on the robot.
Yeah. The child is revealed to be Tatum. We didn't learn a name for this kid. She and Airdramon communicate with the Shogun Gekkoman and convince it to follow them to New York. With the Digimon loose around America heading to New York, the citizens of the city evacuate, including the Tachikawas. That's Mimi's parents.
Mimi's family. They're like on the bridge, stuck in traffic. Because of course, the minute you try to evacuate a city, every bridge, or like every road out is just going to get gummed the fuck up.
Especially
because it's car-based
like
infrastructure and we can all fucking die.
Especially a city like New York, because it's mostly a fucking island.
Uh-huh.
So like, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, Manhattan. Enjoy dying to a kaiju.
Yeah, you're so fucked. Cloverfield. Was a documentary.
Cloverfield.
It was shot like one. Mimi manages to sneak away from her parents and runs back towards New York.
She leaves a note in her seat and just hops out the car while it's sitting in traffic.
Later. So she manages to sneak away from parents, runs back to New York. Mimi and Palmon, it says, use numerous flashlights. It's two each.
Numerous flashlights. Also, they're called semaphores.
They're doing semaphore with the flashlights.
Yeah.
To turn a street into a runway for Michael's jet to land safely in New York. Mimi tells them that the plan is to bring all the Digimon loose in America to Central Park. They meet up with Benjamin, the Genii clone, who thought of the plan.
Yeah, oh, by the way, Genii just fucking cloned himself across the world, and all of them are physically, like, out there in the world, and they all have different names. Don't worry about it.
What up? There's a bunch of them. One of them later is named, what was his fucking name?
Jackie-san.
Jackie.
Jackie-san.
Genii, you can't... Your name can't be Genii, and then there's clones of you named, like, fucking Steve and Jackie Bruce. And shit. Bruce, yeah. Crazy.
It's so weird, and they just brush right by it. Yeah. Because they're like, hey, you need me around to Ultimate Digivolve, so just accept that I'm here.
Michael's father just sits by and eats food from Japan.
This description is not going to cover the fact that he's like giving us extremely rough English from a Japanese voice actor. It's so fucking funny. It's really funny.
Doesn't he go like, wow, hey guys,
delicious. He's yeah, like eating a bunch of rice balls.
Fucking awesome. The American Digidestin, Maria, Steve, Lou, and Phil bring the Digimon they rounded up all over America to New York. That's so, like, okay, that's another fucking CinemaSins ding, because the kids were on foot. Wait, the country's real fucking big, man.
I'm telling you, everywhere is as big as Japan.
That's crazy.
Bike your way to Akihabara, idiot.
Yeah. From fucking San Francisco to New York in about 6 months. As Phil and his partner Digimon, Flareezamon.
Fire dinosaur.
Yeah, Flareezamon.
Walk near Rockefeller Center.
The name is literally, like, Riza is Japanese, like, romanization of lizard.
Oh, okay.
Says fire lizard mon.
Fire lizard monster. As they are walking near Rockefeller Center, a Cherrymon that is with them becomes hostile after seeing the center's Christmas tree light up.
He gets territorial about a big tree.
He's like, fuck you! And runs over, like, and starts beating the shit out of a Christmas tree.
That's mating competition. I must kill you now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so fucking funny.
And Phil.
It's genuinely brutal. He is punching the shit out of this tree.
Which, part of me is like, let him kill the fucking tree. Who cares?
Just let him kill the Christmas tree. War on He's Christmas, but I'm joining the war on Christmas on the side of Digimon.
Yeah. The war on Christmas will continue until Christmas ends as a legal occupation of November.
Yeah.
Phil and Flareezamon try to calm it down, but fail. Phil calls for help, and Daisuke, Mimi, and Michael respond.
Michael?
I don't know why the, like, white people names are, like, killing me.
They're so funny. Especially Phil. Because, like, in the dub, right, we would be hanging with fucking Matt, right?
Yeah, Matt's that's just a
I guess it would be Ty instead of Daisuke. It would be fucking Cody.
Sora. That's kind of a
instead
cool
of Iori.
Name. Even Mimi has more juice than, like, Phil.
Phil.
Michael.
It's very funny, and it will not stop being funny.
Benjamin gives Palmon one of Azulongmon's digicores, which allows her to digivolve into Lilymon. Very cool.
Yeah, we get to have Lilymon back around. This made me very happy. I was big smiles.
Daisuke and Michael have Vmon and Betamon digivolve into XVmon and Seedramon. We get our first digivolution sequence for a fucking non-Japanese. Did your dad said it was so cool.
It is funny that they don't bother to ultimate digivolve. They do have ultimate forms. Mega Seedramon and Aero Vdramon exist.
But we haven't seen Aerovedramon yet.
We haven't seen him yet. We've seen Mega Seedramon. Where the fuck's our big red snaky boy?
I was wondering if he was gonna go ultimate. I wonder if maybe like they just didn't have it like that in the States. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have to.
You know? They never had to bother to achieve ultimate.
Because they didn't fucking fight Myotismon. Myotismon is the reason why the fucking Megas even came, or not, well, not
the Ultimates,
for the Megas, for the Ultimates. And then, like, we got Megas because we were fighting fucking
Metal Seedramon and
Metal
Puppetmon
and
shit.
Puppetmon, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the thing that allowed them to do it was the crests, which are gone now permanently. Right. So, like, if they can transform without the crests, anyone should be able to.
Right.
I think it's ultimately that they just, you know, they want the whole point of this part is to give us a little nostalgia trip for the first season.
Sure.
Like, here's your boys. You remember Lilymon? You love Togemon and Lilymon. And they're right. I do.
They are correct. They then fly to Rockefeller Center, which Seedramon can fly, I guess.
Well, yeah. We've seen the Seedramon do that, or the evolutions of it anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I can believe Mega Seedramon flying or Metal Seedramon flying, but like I think
like
Mega
transcending
just
its oceanic
like,
limitations.
Yeah, I think he just kind of comes up out of the water largely. In previous times, he seemed to
anchors
say.
His tail.
Yeah, so they fly to Rockefeller Center to help Phil. The Cherrymon, however, overpowers them.
Yeah, 5 or 6 Digimon fighting this guy down, including an ultimate, and he is beating the shit out of them, presumably, you know, because they're attempting a non-lethal capture, right? They're trying to calm him down instead of actually take him out.
I think it's like when you're like a car flips onto your kid. He was just like, he had like adrenaline.
he saw that tree
and was just like, oh, yeah. God!
Territorial, his cum was boiling up.
Yes.
Powering up his moves.
That's precisely correct.
We know that key is cum.
Yes, absolutely.
Which means this episode technically had beams. I mean, besides the lasers at the start.
Right. Maria, Lou, and Steve arrive with their respective partners, Centaurumon, Tortamon, and Frigimon. I thought these were very good picks for Digidestined.
Yeah, really widen the scope of what's available.
Yeah. They introduce themselves and assist in dealing with Cherrymon. They defeat it and proceed to bring it as well as the other Digimon to Central Park. And Lilymon makes one last inspection of New York to make sure there are no Digimon scattered about. It's a big fucking city.
Yeah, dog.
There's a lot of buildings and shit that they could have been in. I don't know. I feel like there's something out there. And then while doing so, Mimi's parents spot her and follow her, knowing that she would lead them to Mimi. On their way to Central Park, there's so much synopsis here. Tatum meets up with them. Lou and Daisuke get acquainted with the others, and Phil rests on the Cherrymon. With all the Digimon gathered in Central Park, Daisuke sends them back to the digital world. The American Digidestined is what I said, are amazed by the digital gate and cheer for a job well done. Mimi's parents then arrive and ask what happened to the Digimon. The Digidestined pretend to not know what they're talking about. And Daisuke just goes, Merry Christmas.
And then the show makes a point to be like, it's no longer Christmas in America. And he looks like a dumbass. The show just like makes an extra point to shit on Daisuke. It's very funny, actually.
Turns out he's dumb.
But that, oh man, the description completely skips fucking cutting over to the precursor to them moving into China. Which is them arriving in, I don't know what fucking country, but they're speaking English. There's like three kids.
Oh, they're getting
all
we're,
of whom
we're,
have
we're
the same partner.
Here. We're showing
oh,
up
okay.
Here.
Yeah, that's weird because my notes about the Merry Christmas thing is the end of the episode. Weird.
No, because that was, well, they might have done it chronological, like they completed the New York story.
Yeah, I must have had my notes. Fucking moved around or something.
That's okay. Meanwhile, in Hong Kong. Yay, see, we're in Hong Kong. Emojimon frightens the locals, and the Poi brothers' grandfather attempts to stop it.
He's out there like a fucking Onmyoji. He's just like, I'm gonna seal you away, evil spirit. Guess what? Old man staring down a giant creature pointing an
like
icicle at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just throws a talisman on the boy.
Thinking that the Mojimon is an evil spirit, he throws a talisman at him.
He's not super wrong.
No, pretty close. I thought it was going to work for a second. I thought he was going to banish him with it.
Like, he has so much confidence. I'm like, oh, shit. Are they going to be like, yeah, Shinto works, by the way, just canonically.
It's going to be so cool. The Mojimon attacks the old man, but is rescued by the three Poi brothers.
Yeah.
The Poi brothers each have a Sayakomon as a partner Digimon, and have them digivolve into Octomon. Which, we were talking about how cool it is that they're doing, like, scope stuff. And
yeah.
Like, these three brothers have the same Digimon partner. That's not something we've seen before. That's so cool.
And they all go up the same evolution tree. None of them go, like, Gessomon or anything.
I wonder if they're going to diverge at Ultimate.
Could be.
I don't think we're going to get to see that, unfortunately.
No, probably not.
Kind of a one-off.
It would have been neat if one of them was, like, Sealamon or something. But it's also really cool that there's just, like, sometimes you get fucking duplicates. It's a big world.
Yeah.
Lots of shit that can happen. That many Digimon.
Yeah. They defeat the Mojimon not long after Izzy and Kari arrive. Poi brothers and Izzy and Kari have a problem communicating, but Jackie, Genai's Chinese counterpart, clears things up for them.
She's trying to speak Chinese and they're like, I don't understand you.
In English, which I thought was awesome. I don't understand you.
Yeah, Jackie's like, no, it's fine. These don't attack the Digimon. We're all fine. And then you just go, who are you?
Yeah.
Again, in English. And then motherfucking Kari goes, ni hao.
It's great. She's
like,
she's,
it's the one other language I know a little bit, so I'll try.
She hablo Chinese un poquito. Like that?
It's really good. Oh, fuck. I just have written down in all caps, ni hao, you dumb bitch.
Okay, all right. We're learning here. Dien, a Vietnamese Digidestin.
Ah, that was Vietnam.
And Yue Hong, a Chinese Digidestin, and their partners Gorillamon and Apemon, respectively, bring the Digimon scattered around Asia.
All of it, just the whole continent,
the whole thing,
the whole continent.
These two kids just went and we got it. We got all.
Don't worry about it. We were in Laos. We were in Myanmar.
Yeah, we were all over the fucking place. Iran.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We were all through Russia, the entire thing. Yeah.
Well, Russia gets its own deal because they're gonna do.
They're gonna do that in Moscow.
Moscow. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say that's like a third
but
of
that's
the continent.
Fucking
I think.
Enormous too. Russia has this weird. There's this weird thing where people say Asia and you mean probably China, Japan, Korea. You know.
Right,
maybe
just kind
India.
Of the, like, southeastern little chunk of it, really. Right.
But then you would say South Asia, you mean India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say the Middle East, and you mean a different thing. But that's all one fucking continent.
It's all one continent.
Russia, which is, like, almost always referred to as its own thing. You would never refer... Like, if you saw a Russian dude, you wouldn't say some Asian guy.
Although you validly could.
He's valid, Asian dude.
There's a valid way to describe it.
The Asian guy. Yeah.
And like, hi, they border each other, China and Russia. There is a lot of cultural exchange there, actually.
I would not be surprised if, like, in the next, say, 100 years, should current geopolitical lines hold. If Russia became its own continent, like they were like, nah, we're a continent.
Like, we're just gonna go ahead and just kind of carve these borders. And
guess what?
Push the island off the island.
And it's different. You know what I mean? That sounds like a very
right. So you have Europe, thing. Asia, and Russia.
Because, like, geopolitically, that's kind of true.
Yeah, fair enough. I keep saying there is, like, Sino-Russian cultural overlap and cultural exchange
over in the way east in the islands.
Yeah,
but the Aleutians, remember that, or is that up near Alaska?
You're past what I know geographically at this point. I've been treading water. I'm a dumb American bitch. You think I know where any of these places are?
The Aleutians are up near Alaska.
Okay,
I'm kind of in the same part of the world. I'm just on the North America side of it. Anyway.
And also, she keeps trying Cantonese even after Jackie's, like, speaking in English at them.
Who are you? Shishi. She's so funny.
Donde está la biblioteca?
However, at the... Whoa, no, wait! Wait! At the border of China and India! The Chinese army thinks that the Digimon are hostile monsters and prevent Mina and her partner Merrimon from bringing the Digimon from India into China. Yeah.
Now, listeners, we were looking at a map, so tell me if I'm just dumb and I missed something on the map, but, like, those aren't next to each other.
And wait a fucking second, because they were in Hong Kong, right? Mm-hmm. And then Dian and Yue Hong, with their Gorillamon, their Apemon, get all the Digimon in Asia, I guess, and bring them to Kowloon Park in Hong Kong. And then they're in India, going back into China.
Presumably, the first batch was all the ones in China, and now they have to get the ones from across the border.
Yeah, I mean, some part of this could be just, like, the weakness of, like, the wiki writing.
Yeah, could very easily be, as well as the dub probably having some changes in what information they provide vocally.
But I feel like this doesn't make sense geographically.
It really doesn't.
The thing is, I come from, like, a fantasy background with, like, polities and nation states and things. And so these things are important to me. If if you're in Westeros 1 second, and then 10 seconds later you're in Essos, I'm mad about it. Uh-huh. Where was the boat ride? I don't know. I'm silly.
Just kind of scrunching the map together and putting the Rohirrim right next to...
It annoys me. Minas Tirith or whatever. Yeah. Though, aren't those pretty close? Anyway. At the border of China and India...
A thing that doesn't exist.
The Chinese army thinks the Digimon are hostile monsters and prevent Mina and her partner Merrimon from bringing the Digimon from India into China.
Oh, they have a serious military regiment, like, ready at the border to shell these children. Like, there is a camp full of troops.
Oh, what? Sino-Indian border dispute? Wait a minute! There's a whole bunch of China that goes all the way over there past Nepal.
Oh, shit, really?
Are we stupid?
Yeah. That's okay. I'm okay being a dumb bitch. Spent the last 5 minutes being like, they're so dumb.
They're so stupid. No, China's fuck-normous. And definitely... Oh, my God. I'm stupid. Yeah, because Tibet, they got all of Tibet, and then it goes up past the Taklamakan and shit.
I will say, remarkably neutral depiction of China and its government in a Japanese anime.
I was wondering if they were going to be like,
I was fully waiting for them to do the thing they always do to China and Korea, which is depict them as monsters.
Yeah. Which, good for them, because they, the Poi brothers go and have their Octomon spray some,
they spray
some
Chinese Ni Hao characters.
They're like, Ni Hao, what's good?
They're and like, they're hi, like, we know we're intelligent. We're trying to communicate.
Yeah, and then they put the binoculars on him, and everybody's like, "Hey!" They're like waving, and then they like have the Chinese soldiers go into the formation.
Oh, fucking lore! The Digidestined Digimon only get like the native language of their partner by default.
Oh, that is
Angewomon is specifically like, "Hey, we don't speak Chinese. It's up to you."
Kabuterimon's like, me neither. Wouldn't it be fucking cool if Kabuterimon just busted out like full on like Mandarin?
Like Klingon? Like,
yeah. That would be awesome. Kapla! Fucking Kabuterimon beats somebody up and calls him a bloodless Patak.
I think Tentomon is like, in Izzy are enough nerds that they could probably be polyglots between the two of them.
Yeah,
just like, all right, you're learning two languages, I'm learning two languages, so
I'm
that
gonna
we can cover
guess,
more ground.
Not necessarily for cultural reasons, but I'm gonna guess Izzy isn't a Trekkie. I'm gonna guess he likes Ultraman.
Probably. Are there any like languages specific to Ultraman or Kamen Rider or any of that shit?
I don't know. Probably Japanese.
I mean, sure, yeah.
Shut up, Audrey. there's a whole bunch of China hanging out with Nepal. Oh, and it's like the Himalayas is the border. So they're in the mountain pass.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right.
Dumb bitches are dumb.
We're dumb and that's okay.
But I was like, the border of China and India. I was like, but it was so confidently stated, I had to look it up.
Well, we were looking at a map and there's like two countries between them in either direction, according to that map.
Yeah, odd. I don't know. We were just like,
it was just a big old long sliver of China we weren't seeing on there.
Yeah, I guess if you're trying to go from Hong Kong to China, there's a whole bunch of countries, or from Hong Kong to India, there's a whole bunch of countries in the way.
Yeah, if you're walking in, if you're walking directly to Hong Kong in a straight line.
So like Izzy calls, what? Mina does not want to start a battle and calls for help. Izzy receives her call and he and Kari and the oldest boy brother go to assist her.
That's before the communication, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Mega Capitarian and Angelwoman volunteer to act as decoys while the Digidestined lead the Digimon into China. Izzy and Kari refuse the idea, and instead, Kari has the eldest boy brother's Octomon communicate with the Chinese army.
That's a dub thing. In the sub, they're just like, it's up to you, dog. We don't speak Chinese.
Yeah. The Chinese army begins to wonder if the monsters possess intelligence and returns the greeting. Izzy then has the Poi brothers and have his Octomon explain the situation to the Chinese army. When the Chinese army convinced that the Digimon are harmless, Mina and the Digimon from India are allowed entrance into China.
The way that the Chinese military chooses to say hello back is to arrange their soldiers in formation to spell the ni hao.
It's pretty funny.
It's so funny. They're like, we assume they're deaf, so we're just going to give them a visual response back.
Now, this is a much more political statement than we got in the sub. The general leading the Chinese forces admits that when it comes to saving the world, they are all on the same side and not enemies.
Huh.
I mean, like a pretty milquetoast.
Pretty milquetoast, true, but it's more than we get in the dub or the sub.
They're just like wow,
are you sure,
smart
commander? And he's like, don't worry about it.
Let him go. Yeah.
Just let him go. Doesn't give any reasoning.
With all the Digimon in Kowloon Park, Kari sends them back to the digital world.
Whoosh!
The act of sending the Digimon back to the digital world shocks Mina and Yue Hong, while the Poi brothers and Dien are amazed by it. The eldest Poi brothers shakes Kari's hand as thanks. The two younger Poi brothers get jealous and begin to push each other for a chance to shake Kari's hand.
Yeah, it's just Daisuke, but broken up into three small children.
Daisuke, but three boys.
Yeah. One Daisuke, like three children in a trench coat pretending to be Daisuke.
And then we didn't really hang much of a hat on this while we were watching it. But meanwhile, in Japan, a small boy named Takashi Yoshizawa sits sad and alone on a swing as Mummymon sits down next to him. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, I completely
They're about to turn another Digidestined.
Yeah.
They're about to fucking re-Ken somebody.
Yep. Whatever they did to Ken, they're getting a new one.
Woof. That'll be hard for Ken, I think.
Yeah, having to face someone doing the same thing he was. Yeah.
I think he'll
as someone who struggles with seeing people a lot like her make the same mistakes I used to make. Yeah, I get that feeling of like, oh, yep. I feel unreasonably aggressive towards you because you remind me of things I don't like about myself.
Tough. Okay. What do you rate this? On a scale of rookie to mega.
Ooh. It's a ultimate. It's a pretty strong ultimate, I think. Yeah. We get so much variety. We get a lot of battling, surprising enough. Despite the fact that this is a battle.
Yeah.
But we, you know, it's something. And so considering this is mostly a peaceful resolution here, and the fact that like the Dark Towers just get zapped from space right off the bat, they're not a problem anymore. Don't worry about them. We're not pushing them over one by one anymore. They're no longer a concern.
Yeah, we have ICBMs now. It's fine.
We have orbital laser strikes.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a Jacob Geller video about that.
God's from God, baby.
Jacob Geller, come on the pod so we can show you Digimon pornography.
Or he, yeah, Geller had the laser video. It was Dan Olson who had the tungsten rod video.
Yes, yes. Understandable confusion there. They're
orbital weapons.
Similar yeah. scale of video essayist.
I love those guys. Hey, either one of you come on the show, but wouldn't it be cool if you both came on the show?
That would be so cool.
If we could make Dan Olson and Jacob Geller work together to describe a Digimon's penis.
All we just had to get on Desert Bus.
Okay.
Then we could start networking our way there.
I'm into it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, Ultimate for me. I really liked having all the Digidestin show up again, getting to see some more Mimi in her adorable winter outfit. Oh my god.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. I think it's a mega personally.
Mega for you.
But just because we're like seeing different places and this is our first time meeting a lot of other Digidestin.
I could come with you on that.
Which I like a lot. I'm in love with the idea of the fucking Latvian Digidestin with the fucking Estonian Digidestin.
I really appreciate, especially that the New York Digidestin are all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
You got ethnically, visibly Native American person, black person, a couple of some variety of East Asian. I don't know. They're not very specific.
Right.
But like it's a melting pot, you know, and it's visually represented.
Visually. It's cool.
An old Steve Reeves movie. Fine. Mega.
Mega. Let's go. Oh, no. Oh, God.
It's art, bitch. It's fucking art.
This thing I do want to do. I thought we were doing the fucking ball out super joke again. I'm like, please. Please no.
Oh, you thought we... Wait, why would Shenron have been summoned?
Because we hit two megas.
Oh.
I thought that's how that worked.
Well, we don't... That's not the system.
Okay.
It's just when Shenron comes up.
Oh, okay, cool. Fair enough.
Oop. I'm kidding. Okay, here we go.
Pornography.
All right. This is cool. This is very cool.
Take it away.
Floritzamon. Rendered like a Disney dog,
you know. Yeah,
looking very Pluto like. Is plowing the shit out of Flamedramon, and they are on like a green grid.
You wouldn't fuck Pluto.
You'd fuck Goofy, but you wouldn't fuck Pluto. That's a reference to something from the second year of an 8-year long podcast called Radio Free Topics.
It's almost like I like you and your stuff.
Yay. But you don't see any hog, you don't see any, you know, there's nothing we incredibly explicit
kind of
here.
See the implication of stretched hole.
That's an episode title. The implication of stretched hole.
That's Floritzamon. That's like an Evangelion episode.
The implication of stretched hole next to the Hedgehog's Dilemma. Fucking Flamedramon does not appear to be necessarily enjoying himself so much. He's really playing through the pain here, I think.
Yeah, he seems to be struggling pretty hard.
Yeah. Sweating. Well, he does have a man made of fire fucking him.
Yeah, he's not fighting back or anything, but he's like, oh, that's tighter than I realize.
Oh, it's tight and hot.
It's extremely warm.
Because I don't think he's immune to fire, even though he's a Flamedramon.
He's a dragon. What do you mean?
I don't
he's
think he necessarily means fire resistance. He's resistance, of course, but like that's just damage reduction.
Let's take a look at a true dragon here. Bop, 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 bop. We're gonna say
a true dragon like Shenron.
We're gonna say adult or young adult for Flamedramon, right?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, fair. Young adult probably.
Damage reduction. Young adult and older dragons have damage reduction. Their natural weapons are treated as magic, blah, 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 blah.
Yep, yep, yep. What about fire resistance?
Yeah, I'm looking. Immunity to fire from a wormling.
Come on.
I'm just reading it as I'm seeing it. Okay, it does depend on the kind of dragon. Ice dragons are vulnerable to fire.
But I mean, if he is a dragon, he is clearly a fire dragon.
Yeah, but once you hit adult, no matter what kind of dragon you are, you have damage resistance 5, except versus magic.
Yeah.
I guess fire is so a tough. Kind of magic.
Yep. I had a DM one time that was running a module with us, and we all had some characters we were very excited about. Uh-huh. And there happened to be, I think it was a fucking wormling white dragon in the module.
Uh-huh.
And I later went back and read it. The dragon's not supposed to attack you.
Ah.
The dragon is supposed to, like, talk to you and shit and, like, tell you stuff.
And they were just like, I want this to be a combat.
He made it a combat and killed us.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because, hello. Dragons are the fucking boss check of Dungeons and Dragons. You don't throw that at a party until they're, like, closing up on level 10, even if that's a baby.
We were level fucking one. It was gnarly. It was literally one breath weapon, and three out of the four went down.
Yep. Yep.
And then my character was like, well, I guess I got to try to save somebody. Healing word and run. And then it did the breath fucking recharged the next turn and killed us.
How old were y'all?
Oddly enough, like 28.
Oh, okay. So this is like a dumb person.
I was mad.
A really stupid person.
My character's name was Chet Borcherding, and he was a cleric of, who's the god of trickery?
In D&D or Pathfinder?
5e, specifically
Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
Let's see, trickery domain deities, there's several.
Yeah.
There's Asmodeus, Lolth, Shar, Sirik, Soon. Or Sine. No. Timura.
Could have been Timura, maybe.
Ogma. And Ogma? Mask.
It was Ogma, I think.
Is Ogma... Ogma's one of the ones that made it into the fucking magic set, right?
Maybe. Now we're going really far afield, but what I wanted to say was I was a trickery domain cleric who was a life insurance salesman. How cool is that? I will go on your adventure with you, and I will make sure that you receive the medical attention you need, but I need premiums up front. And I was just really excited to say, like, you know, we go to another region and I charge them more for healing. And they're like, what? And I'm like, we're out of network.
Bard rogue multi-class actuary.
We're out of network.
That's really good. I like that as a bit. Hey,
but he got killed on the first fucking session. I was so mad.
I got so mad I made
a dragonborn tempest cleric because I was like, fuck you, I hate you.
That's very funny. We are still describing a pornographic image.
Oh, I've closed it.
Oh, you closed it.
But it looks like Pluto is fucking blue Pluto.
Bluto. No, Bluto is
fucking blue. Pluto is fucking Bluto.
Bluto's fucking, the big
antagonist from Popeye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's Wimpy, who'll gladly pay you. Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, that's me.
Sam.
Hi, can I get that? Can I get that Burger King pre-financed?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get that? Can I pay for that in installments?
Am I pre-approved for a burger loan?
That's the only one we got today, folks. That's the good thing we have other shit to say, because it's the only one.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's a fun little image, I feel.
Yeah.
hey. Who's your digital champion?
Oh, it's tough this time. There's so many big boys. It could be Lilymon for getting to see her again. It could be fucking Tortamon for coming in with the goddamn spike blicky.
Yeah.
Just blicky. Nailing Cherrymon to the wall.
Yeah, with the splicky.
I think it's got to be the Gessamon that writes to the entire Chinese military.
With the Octomon.
Hello. Yeah. The Octomon. Hey, what's up? Just
the eldest, to the say eldest Proy brother's Octomon.
Yes, that's going to be the one for managing to diplomatically negotiate their way out of a border dispute.
I'm going to say Michael's dad.
Michael's dad is so good.
He's my digital champion. He's like, hey guys.
Michael's dad is fucking hilarious. Oh my
He's
god.
He's awesome.
Every time he gets a line, we just both clap like seals.
Delicious. He's fucking, it's so cool.
Oh yeah.
I relate to him so much.
You
He's
would
just
enjoy
so enthusiastic to be there.
You would enjoy JoJo Part 3 because it is full of that shit.
It's just a bunch of that stuff.
Oh my god.
It's cool. I love the musicality of language. It's my shit.
It's so fun.
Accents are so fun.
I was peeling apart the lyrical cleverness of the secret boss theme in Deltarune Chapter 5 for Audrey. Mm-hmm. I was peeling that shit apart. Like, oh no, it's so cool because I won't go into it. We're done with the spoilers. But it's bad. So
spoiler wall back up.
Good. I love language. I love playing with language. It's fun.
It's good. Another thing that is fun is the other projects that we do. Those are fun.
Yeah. I recorded a Post Ponies very recently.
Hey!
It's probably going to come out in a year.
It's probably out in the next 6 months or so.
I'm just putting Gigi on fucking blast.
Blast! Bye, 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 bye.
Anyway, Post Ponies is honestly a fucking delight to record. It's a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic alongside the rise of American fascism. It's me and three other completely unhinged trans women talking about both of those things, as well as what we're up to and what makes us horny. I won't sugarcoat it. Shit's weird. And if you like some weird shit, if you like our vibe, go check that out anywhere you're listening to this or at smallgayhorse.com.
You got
to
do it. It's the best URL in the game.
Now, what about you, Audrey?
I have another podcast. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. But you already probably know about that. What you need to know about that new hotness that I've been doing for 4 months at this point.
Uh-huh.
The DJ Holpix stream, which you can find over at twitch.tv/DJ0PIX as DJ Holpix on Twitch every Tuesday for 10 to 11:30, and then I usually do a weekend stream, sometimes Friday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Saturday, Sunday, sometimes two or three of those. Play a lot of music, techno, house, old stuff, new stuff, breakcore, drum and bass, You know how we do. I'm genre agnostic. So come check out the tunes.
Probably no country.
Probably no country. Well, I played a Joni Mitchell song that's a little country. Just a little. Not stadium country, though. That's bad.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But yeah, check it out. twitch.tv/DJ0PIX.
Yeah.
Next thing we're going to do our shout outs. For our DigiDestiny tier members, going to do my shout-outs now. So I'm going to say a big hearty data transfer thank you to Sarah Frignon, Arukenimon, parenthesis real, Kitty Sparks, Ember Saffron, Vile Pig Farmer, The Worst of All Possible Worlds Podcast, Asa/Anya, Saturday's Claire, Ruination Jones, and the Desperado Blasters. Ruination Jones and the Desperado Blasters. Jubilation Lee, Pablo Hummus, Gromlin Zine, Waylon the Sprite Smith, Maya, Teresa, Bubba Nitro, and my Metamore Gigi. Thank you so much for supporting us at the DigiDestin tier. You absolutely are the Digi and Armand.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We love you. And we love everybody who listens, of course. Do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with everybody? Put you on the spot real fast.
I'm gay.
Hell yeah, I'm gay too.
I like women.
I like women. I like women.
I like femme-presenting folks, and I like boobies.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, me too.
We're almost hour 20. Let's go.
Let's go. Love you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.